today on Real Radio.
You know what we do when we're avoiding the cross and we're avoiding Christ? We take our sin and we put fig leaves, we sow fig leaves all around it, and we try to hide it from God in the garden of life. And God says, hey, where are you? And we're like, Eve, don't say anything. What are you gonna say? I'll think of something. Listen, you're perishing if that's you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in his message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2, as he begins a new series called The First Epistle of Peter. It's been said that just a pat on the back can go a long way. You know, the Apostle Peter understood this, and his words of encouragement arrived just in time to bring comfort and inspiration. Even though many Christ followers of Peter's day were suffering under the heavy hand of the Romans, Peter reminds them that these trials and persecutions will not defeat them. Christians today are also in need of encouragement. And you know, the truth is we can learn so much from Peter's life, like how to stay focused on Christ in times of trouble and how hardships continue to make us grow in our faith. Peter understood the Lord's hand upon him and how Jesus kept him under his care, even though he couldn't visibly see him. We too are forever surrounded by God's infinite love and his invisible care. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that wherever the gospel is preached, there are those who will either accept or reject salvation through Jesus Christ. God knew before the beginning of all time the ones who will open their hearts and those who will refuse to believe. And now in his message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Based on the infinite love of God, that when the gospel went forth, you would respond, God would give you the ability, listen, God would give you the hearing ability or the ability to understand the gospel, and that his message to you is grace. It's by faith. Even the faith is a gift, but you've got to be willing. And therein is you have a justifiable hell because people sent themselves there and they're the ones responsible. But in heaven, we're not responsible because God provided the way to get there. It's absolutely amazing to the person over here that is saying, that's so dumb. What a stupid idea that is. By the way, I shared the gospel with my dad about 3 days after I got saved in 1977. I gave the gospel to my dad and he said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And he started calling God all kinds of names. I thought, that's it. This lazy boy chair is going to catch fire any second. Now, thank God, my dad, 20 years later, had a change of mind. Okay, but here's the deal. You may be here today. You may be listening right now saying, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Wouldn't it be ridiculous if my dad in that condition at that moment, and you, sir, and you, young lady, you think this message is ridiculous? You don't have one stitch of appetite to go to heaven anyway, do you? You don't want to be there. Can you imagine my dad being in heaven when I said that? He's calling God all kinds of names and how dumb God is for doing this. Can you imagine him walking around heaven? This is ridiculous. I don't like this place. There's too much light. All the singing. Everyone's hugging each other. I don't like it. He would have been out of place. The man or the woman today that's saying, what a ridiculous thing, this gospel message. Hey, listen, it's because you're not chosen. You're not elect. In God's foreknowledge, he knew that you would reject the message when given to you. The Bible says he who is often rebuked will harden his heart and he will be taken away, and that without remedy. Every time you hear the gospel, it has less and 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 less of an effect because you harden your heart. And so you think the gospel is a stupid thing. It's a foolish thing. That's because you're not God's. Here's the bone-chilling thing about it. The person who's not elect of God and chosen by God based upon God's loving foreknowledge, that person doesn't care. They don't care. The person that is being called by God, or you who are the believer, you are called by God, you have been elected by God's choosing, you care. You might even be here today and you love Jesus, but you're filled with condemnation and you feel like you're never good enough. I understand that. Let's be honest. I'm going to speak for all of us in this room. Every one of us knows exactly how you feel because all of us stink at being a Christian. I could love you more. I could give more. I could pray more. I could care more. And so could you. Amen. We all come up short. But you know what? We have a target that we're shooting for. Amen. And his name is Jesus. And he's awesome. He loves perfectly. He cares perfectly. He never comes up short. He's absolutely our goal in life. We live for him. We fall down. We get up. We keep running toward him because you know what? He's the only thing that makes everything in this life and beyond life that makes sense. He's the only thing. And the person who's not elect of God, they don't care. So somebody will create this ridiculous idea. Well, what if I don't want to be a Christian and I don't want to go to hell? What if I don't want to be a follower of Jesus, but I don't want to go to hell? This is you know what an oxymoron is? This is an oxymoron. This is an impossible thing. Because when God awakens faith in your heart and in your life, you care about the things of heaven. So you may be here today and you're saying, I want to go to heaven. Okay. Do you understand the gospel I gave you a moment ago? Because the Bible says that's the only way to go to heaven. Okay. So are you telling me that you know that, like the rest of us, we're sinners? Are you saying that you're a sinner? Yes. That you have lust, anger, selfishness, pride, violence in your heart? Yes. Listen to this. God in his infinite love says to you, bring it here. Notice what he says. He says, bring it here. Bring me your lust. Bring me your anger. Bring me your violence. Bring me your pride. Are you today willing to say, I agree with the gospel and I want to bring all my sin to Christ? You know what we do when we're avoiding the cross and we're avoiding Christ? We take our sin and we put fig leaves. We sow fig leaves all around it. And we try to hide it from God in the garden of life. And God says, hey, where are you? And we're like, Eve, don't say anything. What are you going to say? I'll think of something. Listen, you're perishing if that's you. God brings eternity to those who say, God, here I am. Look at my hands. They're bloody. My hands are bloody. Oh, God, my heart's filled with darkness. Oh, God, I need your help. Now, today, and by the way, God will accept you. That's called repentance. You come to him and he takes it from you and he gives you his son, Jesus Christ. And that moment, there's a transformation in your life. You won't feel anything. I mean, I didn't feel anything. Maybe you did when that moment happened. I didn't feel a thing. I just knew in a moment my thoughts began changing. That shocked me. It's like, who's in here? I always called Bubbles up. And then I went to think, I'm going to call Bubbles. And then this thought came into my mind, we don't call Bubbles anymore. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, wow. Well, I'm going to go do this now. And then 3 feet hidden that direction. The voice in my head, we don't do that anymore. All right, that's right, yeah. And here's the thing, it wasn't like this, oh, what? Oh, come on, God, come on. No, it was, yeah. It's like a record stuck in the groove. Are you with me? It just goes to the groove. And you just, well, this is what I always do. And then God says, wait a minute. Remember the other night when you and I prayed, you prayed and I talked to you, and remember when I came into your life? Yeah. Well, I don't do this stuff and I don't want you to do it. And here's what happens. It's not like, oh, what? It's this. It's, wow. You mean I can actually turn away from that thing and walk away from it? Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. Wow. The non-believer today, the person that's not chosen and elect by God, says, this is ridiculous. Maybe it makes sense this way. I don't know what you're doing after service, but let's pretend none of us are going to Disneyland, which is a very wise thing to do. So you're not going to go to Disneyland after service. Let me ask you. Because you're not going to Disneyland after service, do you care right now how long the lines are? Why not? Because you're not going. Let's go to SeaWorld. Want to go to SeaWorld after service If you want to go to SeaWorld after service, you care about the lines, you care what it's going to be like, you care about the weather. But what if you're not going to go to SeaWorld? Do you care about? You don't care because you're not going. Today, you don't care about heaven. You don't care about the things of God. All this is a joke because you're not going. As simple as that. You don't care how long the lines are to see Peter or hang out with Paul. You don't care what the weather's like on the south side of heaven. You don't care. It's a joke to you. Just know this. You're not God's. You don't belong to him. You have to worry about it. There'll be nothing there for you to disapprove of because you won't be there to disapprove of anything. And it wouldn't be heaven if you were there disapproving. I don't like that angel. This street's too gold. Stay home. Is this not true? It's just nobody saying it anymore. Do you want Christ? Yes, I do. Then guess what? Based upon the foreknowledge of God and his infinite love, you've been elected and chosen by God. You just respond to him. Love him. He knows all things. He's eternal. How are you going to deal with this? The Bible tells us, and I'll paraphrase it for time's sake. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, for example, beginning at verse 37, and I'll paraphrase it, the positive. The gospel is preached, just like you heard today. The opportunity is given to people. And the Bible says that those who heard it, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Meaning, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? Or what shall we do to be saved? What shall we do? They heard the gospel and they said, oh my goodness, what do we do? They were convicted of their sins and they accepted Christ and they received the love of God. Then the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5, the gospel is preached, people hear it. And the Bible says that when they heard these things, they were furious and plotted to kill them. You see the difference? That's the same in this crowd today. There's a group that is saying, what must I do? Oh God, I'll do anything. Lord, I'm sorry, I sinned. I love you, Jesus. Oh God, bring me into your family. And then there's another group that is saying, I'm plotting to kill you. That's what's happening in America today. Did you see the hate mail? Did you see, not only the hate mail about Billy Graham's funeral service, I don't like saying funeral service. It was not a funeral service, it was Billy Graham's graduation service. Did you see the hate mail? Did you see even on CNN, the hate that CNN spewed regarding Billy Graham? Amazing. All the things that are being said, how far our nation has departed. The hate that's being spewed against prayer meetings taking place in our country. The anger of many today about the fact that more than any other time in American history ever, that the CIA, FBI, Department of State, at the Vice President's mansion, White House, and Capitol, there are more Bible studies and prayer meetings ever in the history of this nation taking place right now. And people have lost the ability to say, well, I'm not a Christian, I'm an atheist, but you know what? No harm. No, if you're a high school football team and you're going to pray at the end of the game and you're the coach, you're going to wind up being unemployed because this nation has forgotten God. God has been expelled. It doesn't have to be true in your life. Some people say, yes, God, show me the way. And some people say, you know what? I'll kill you if I get a chance. If Jesus were to come back today, they'd kill him again. You're between two worlds and you need to make a decision. We'll end with this. In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to give you several passages of scripture. In Romans chapter 8, please listen. It's coming from the earth side. This is from where you and I live. It's coming from terra firma. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. By the way, you need to be reminded, I need to be reminded that Romans 8, 28, when he says, for we know, it means every Christian knows this already. It's common knowledge among believers. What is it, Paul? That everything going on in our lives, is working together for good to those who are called according to God's purposes. Are you this morning a follower of Jesus Christ? Then your flat tire is working for good. You being laid off from the job is going to work out for good. You, I don't know how, I had a man just tell me at first service, "Pastor, I was radically healed of cancer, an incurable cancer, extremely rare. They don't know what to do with it. And now I'm being asked to go on these programs on PBS and TV to talk about how it happened. And it's a miracle of God. And I want to ask you to walk me through this process, because I want to make sure I represent God right." Here's a situation where a man was condemned to death because of a cancerous diagnosis. And they couldn't save him. And God healed him. For what purpose? I told him, "You think your life is out of purpose thus far? Friend, your life's just getting started." Okay. Based upon Romans 8:28. But that passage goes on. "For whom he foreknew," there's that wonderful word, "before time ever began and before anybody messed up anything, God knew. He also predestined." That he's appointed. Based on foreknowledge, he appointed the outcome. He knows what's going to... You wouldn't listen. It doesn't matter. One great pastor said, he taught in L.A. In 1949. He said, "If you knew down at Santa Anita," I forget the name of the horse, it doesn't matter. "If you knew that down at Santa Anita, Bozo the horse is going to win the race, and you go down to bet on a horse or horses, and you see Bozo there in the gate," he said, "what horse are you going to bet on?" Some of you are very timid. There's some people that bet on horses. It's not good. I understand that. I'm just using his analogy. I'm not endorsing gambling. Not good. It's God's money. You don't have the authority to do that. Okay, for the record. If you knew, for analogy's sake, illustration, that Bozo the horse is going to win the race in advance, you know this, you go down there, and if you were to gamble, you would say, "I'm going to put my whole dollar, man, on Bozo." On what basis did you make your decision? Foreknowledge. Based on God's foreknowledge, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he glorified. By the way, I thought about this, and Billy Graham, now that he's in heaven, could say that in reverse. He could say to us right now, imagine if a cloud parted open and Billy Graham looked over the rainbow there and said, "Hey, everybody, guess what? I'm glorified. I'm no longer battling 99-year-old Parkinson's disease. I'm not of this world." He would say, "I'm glorified." And we would shout back, "Billy, how'd that happen?" "Well, it happened because I was justified." Look at it in reverse. "Well, how'd that happen?" "I was called by God." "Well, how'd that happen?" "I was predestined by the Lord." "Well, how'd that happen?" "Based on his foreknowledge." See, in heaven, they praise God from that direction. On earth, we ought to praise him from this direction. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent." That's a choice you make. John chapter 6, verse 40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life." What's wrong with this story? Today, you're either saying, "That's awesome, and I want it," or you're saying, "This is ridiculous, and I can't stand it." Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." You can't come to God unless God's drawing you, and God draws you based upon his foreknowledge, and he does that, and he works all of that out because God knew in eternity your decision. John chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me," listen, "I will in no wise cast out." How's that for awesome? The infinite love of God. Father, we pray today and we ask of you, Almighty God, Jesus, that you would move in the midst of this congregation, and Lord, that you would parse out, divide, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. God, today, nobody would leave this place without knowing exactly where they're at with you. To the man who doesn't believe in you, Lord, may he know today that when he's leaving today, he's 100% sure that you do not exist and or he doesn't want you in his life. To that woman who would say, nope, no time for God, only me, my time, no God time, me time. But maybe there's the person that's here today saying, oh, Jesus, I agree, I am a sinner and I am lustful or I am arrogant or I am angry or I am hurt. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy upon me, God. And today you would be saying yes to Jesus right where you're at, right where you're seated right now. Imagine in this room right now, there's a whole host of people saying yes to Christ. Even us who are believers, every chance we get the chance, we say yes, Lord. Maybe today you're saying yes. Maybe some of you are saying, nope, not for me. Isn't it awesome? God didn't call us to make anybody decide on anything. God just told us to present the truth. The decision's yours, my friend. As long as the gospel's preached truly, decisions will be made. Yes, of course, some will be no, and some will be yes. I pray today for you that those of you who are opening your heart to Christ, that you would tell him now that you're coming to him and that you're thanking him for his love. And for those of you who are rejecting him, a God that you don't believe in, just remember today, and you will remember today, that God has given you an opportunity to change your heart and your mind. Father, we thank you for the love of Christ, for your holy, perfect word, and for the everlasting hope that Jesus is soon to come for us, individually or corporately. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our hope is that you truly understand how much the Lord loves you. He has an awesome plan for your life when you're anchored to Him. Anchored to the One True God, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The First Epistle of Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, you are not here by accident. That's the truth. God loves you, and he wants you to have a personal relationship with him. But maybe you don't understand what that really means, and you still have some questions. Well, the Apostle Peter was anointed by God to share the love and gospel of Jesus Christ, and so are we. That's why Pastor Jack has a tab called Know God at the website. It's going to help you find answers that you might be looking for. It's also a great witnessing tool for those who want to share God's love with others. The tab called Know God, that's K-N-O-W, God, is designed to give you the needed insight into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how his death on the cross frees you from sin and separation. Again, it's the tab that says Know God. It's at the website called reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you know you can always find it on the Real Life mobile app. Hey, we've got a special offer for you. The Life and Bible series is now available on an MP3 CD. And for a gift of any amount, you'll get 17 complete audio messages along with Pastor Jack's sermon notes all on one disc. Yeah, you'll get the notes too. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and take advantage of this great offer on the Life and Bible series. And remember, it's yours for a gift of any amount at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.